All right. Hello, everyone. This is Coach Terry Hayes, and I'm here with a fabulous presentation from Impact Coaching Academy. We are talking about neuroscience and what every coach needs to know, and we are here with our esteemed partners from our colleagues from WetWorks Academy of Neurocoaching and Human Development, who we have partnered with on this venture, and we've got some exciting stuff to tell you. Now, first of all, let me say, this is not the actual audio of the complimentary call that we offered the other day. As technology would have it, it did not record. I'm sure you've all been there and probably said some of the choice, frustrating words that I said when we discovered what had happened. But blissfully, in coach style, we turned a negative into a positive and actually decided to get together and record this specifically for you to help revisit some of the wisdom that we had from the other night, as well as even expand on it. So I think you're going to find a lot of value in this. Let me talk to you a little bit about my partners on the line tonight. So we have with us here on the line, we have Iris Hainstock, who's a professional certified coach working in mid-career transition. And she is here with her business partner, who is actually going to be our presenter, the dominant kind of portion of this interview tonight, and that's Don Hummins. Don is the founder of WetWorks Academy of Neurocoaching and Human Development. He's also a behavioral psychologist, marine biologist, international speaker, trainer, thought leader, writer, and entrepreneur. And his subject matter is all about applications of neuroscience, coaching, business coaching, relationship development, and organizational communications. And that is where Don hangs his hat as an expert. Quite masterfully, thank you. And not on the line with us, and I just want to give a shout out and acknowledge, of course, is my business partner, Dr. Lee Bauckham, who is our co-managing director here at Impact Coaching Academy, who was with us on the first call, and also Scott Masciarelli, a professional certified coach, board certified coach, who is one of our esteemed colleagues and instructors here at Impact Coaching Academy. He is currently teaching our executive coach training, and he is going to be co-facilitating in this this kind of bold new adventure we're doing with neurosciences for coaching. So I just want to acknowledge both of them, even though they are not here. You are in our thoughts, and if you were lucky enough to be on the live call, you've got to hear a little bit from their wisdom and their voices as well. So Don, thank you, and Iris, thank you for kind of coming back together and having this conversation and allowing us to record it and get this out to all of the people who signed up, and there were a lot of them, so this is an exciting topic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so let's dive in here and kind of start with the big elephant in the room, which is, what is neuroscience? We keep using this word, so what is it specifically?
So neuroscience is really the study of the brain and the nervous system. That is the simplicity in most books that you would pick up if you go to dictionary.com or anyone. They will tell you that's actually what it is. However, for us, we actually take a step further and we actually look at social neuroscience, because everything we do involves some social interaction between two people. And so it's more that neuroscience is the umbrella, the big brother, if you will. And then social neuroscience is really where coaches and psychiatrists and psychologists actually fall under, because they're always involving something to do with how we interact. From a neuroscience perspective, it's actually how the human brain actually is functioning at the time of the social interaction, and what chemical processes are taking place. Why do we sometimes become afraid? Why do we get tongue-tied? Why, you know, does the fear response system jump into play in some of these interactions? So really, we as coaches, we're focusing on the social aspect of change, or the social aspect between two human beings, and how what they want to change has an effect upon that encounter with the other human being.
Absolutely. I love that description. I mean, really pinpointing neuroscience as the study of the brain, but then the application or the perspective is because we're in an intimate conversation with them. How does that pan out in those scenarios? I think that that's a great picture to portray. So when we talk about neuroscience, you know, my belief, and I know you, both of you, Iris and Don, you have such strong passion and belief for the good that neuroscience can do. Can you say a few words about why it is that neuroscience really is a fit, right? It's a good fit or even a necessity across all niche and specialty coaching demographics, that this is not a, you know, oh, if you coach this, you should have neuroscience, but it's universal, isn't it?
As you were saying that, I was reminded of my high school algebra teacher who I was failing algebra miserably. And he actually said to me, he says, I'm going to stop grading you on the right answer that you don't get or you do get. And I'm going to start grading you on how you actually set the problem up. So when, as coaches sit down, we all have there's a common thread when we sit down and we are having a conversation with another human being. And that is actually our brain. So it really doesn't matter what niche an individual may be coaching, because the brain is the unifying factor amongst it all, because it's how you are filtering information coming in and how you're actually filtering information going out, how you are either asking the right questions. All of these topics and techniques that coaches learn, it goes into one location, the brain. It may go through five different senses to get there, but it goes through, it ultimately gets to the brain. So the brain is the unifying foundation and why every coach really needs to understand something about neuroscience, more specifically social neuroscience, because we are affecting or influencing change.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the things, and I mentioned this in our initial call, it's one of the things that I can say in my own personal 15 plus years of coaching, I've never, ever, ever, ever encountered a single client who wasn't looking for sustainable change. And of course, that sustainable change was coming from their thinking, the thought patterns and the feeling and emotion all up in the brain. It was all, you know, you get to that level, it's never topically related. It's right. It's like, exactly. I don't care what the topic was. It was always about that sustainable change. It's a great answer response there. So one of the things I have found, and maybe you can speak to why this is, and I think Iris, you even said something about the relief that so many clients and coaches both have when applying the understanding of neuroscience to the coaching process. It actually makes the coaching easier, is my experience. And I want to know if you can kind of speak to that, either or both of you, as to what's your experience with that and why that is.
I'll let Iris take that question. I'll answer too, but Iris actually is using some of the things that I've actually going to be teaching and some things I've actually taught her. So I'll let her start that, answer that, take that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Terry, that it does make it easier for the coach as well as the client. But for the client, it is that relief that, oh, now I know. It's that aha. So there's not something wrong with me. It's how I process, how my brain thinks about this, which means now I can take control of that because I know what it is. So I liken it to, you've got something wrong with you. You go to the doctor, you're anxious. And as soon as the doctor says, well, this is what it is, you feel relief, even though you know you're not cured or treated yet, but it's because you know what it is. So once the person is less anxious, of course, you know, that's going to make the coaching go a lot smoother. So in practice, that's the first thing that stands out for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that myself, and I'll defer to you, Don, here in a second. I think for myself, what I have seen over and over again is when the anxiousness kicks in, right, the negative byproduct of the anxiousness kicking in is we have clients, and certainly we're not immune to this, it happens to us too, but we have clients going, what's wrong with me? I can't figure it out. They get confused. Confusion makes them, you know, fester self-doubt, and it can actually have some pretty powerfully negative consequences to st- stay in that anxious and confused space. And this is such a release to turn that around.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the things that organizing principles around our brain really wants to minimize danger and maximize rewards. And that's always been the yin and yang and pull it, push and pull, if you will, of what's happening, you know, within our brains. And I'm going to throw out just a real small techie term out here, which is called the Yerkes Dodson Law. And that's when our brains take a look at, you know, when it enters into a room with another person, you know, the brain actually will ask about three questions. Number one, is there a threat that I need to be mindful of? Is this threat going to hurt me? Or can I relax?
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in about 1/10 of a second, which means that's obviously moving pretty fast. And imagine in a coaching encounter where you've just met your coachee, and trust me, both parties, coach and coachee, they're trying to assess very quickly, minimize all danger and maximize reward. And for us as coaches, what, you know, helps us minimize the danger are actually the core competencies. So there's certain things that we know that we can't and should not do. But obviously the coachee does not know that. So I think it's really, really important that, you know, again, as coaches, we understand we're change agents. The coachee wants to have some form of sustainable change. The brain is the only way that you can actually make those changes. And when you're in an environment with another human being, you want to always minimize the danger and you always want to maximize the reward. So neuroscience is one of those ways that we're actually discovering through various very simple and easy use techniques and technologies that we can actually do that.
Absolutely. You know, you bring up an interesting kind of transition that I see happen with a lot of newer coaches in particular. They first come into coaching and they want to learn how to do, capital D-O, do coaching. They want to understand, right, they want to understand the skills of it as if doing coaching was going to somehow prepare them to solve all of life's problems. Or I'm not trivializing it. I mean, they're looking for an anchor and a roadmap, but it's like there's this, I have to learn to do it. And then I say, hey, I'm going to give you the to-dos, but the to-bes are equally as important. And sometimes one of the biggest transitions I see coaches make is when they make that shift. What you're talking about is the shift between going into a coaching session and being super hyper mindful of doing competency work. And then when they drop into a kind of their pocket, so to speak, and that's the state of being where they understand what is happening and they can just be with the flow of it. And there's less doing, there's less pushing that needs to happen. They can just be. They see the coaches blossom. The coaches are like, oh, yes. You know, there it is. There's where I find my confidence is when they get into that being state of understanding what is happening in that intimate transaction regarding trust, regarding the awareness that's coming between them.
Exactly. In another area that you just touched upon, what we call, you know, relationship or task over relationship. So as you, the illustration you just gave, so everyone wants to do the task of being a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't understand, you gotta develop that trust. And the fastest way to develop trust, as I said on the call the other day, was just to smile. But the more lasting way to encourage and foster trust is to be more relational. So the functional aspect, you know what you're supposed to do. The task aspect, you know what to do, but the function is really to be a conduit, and the best way that you can be a conduit is to understand, I need to have a relationship with this person and let go of the task. I'll get to the task, but I need to develop that relationship with that person.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think is a real gift here, and Iris, I know, like Don was saying, you're using this already in practice with your clients as well, is when a coach shows up in a coaching conversation or coaching relationship with such clarity about really what's going on, right? How we function as humans and our brain works and how we're going to be together, that they get to that level of trust between the two of them so much faster, because the client really can pick up, like you're saying, it takes a tenth of a second, right? The client can really pick up, oh, they're trying to work an agenda. Oh, they're trying to do the coaching thing. And they can't even put their words to it, right? They can't even put words to it. They just sense something is inauthentically off. And so that peaceful space that the coach settles into when they really understand what's happening, just helps exude that authenticity, trust speed picks up, you know, light years.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my experience with one client in particular was that he came with the attitude, he was recommended by a naturopath to me. And he came with the attitude that, okay, fix me, give me the pill, tell me what I have to do. And of course, we all know that's not what coaching is about. But as soon as we talked about, well, what it was that he needed help with, and then we talked about what was going on in his brain, he settled in and started to trust immediately. And when we finished coaching, that was the one thing that he brought up first and foremost in what he got from the coaching sessions. So I found that was really enlightening.
Yeah, I think accelerating trust would be, if we were to say what is a byproduct of understanding the entire coaching transaction from a neuroscience standpoint, is it accelerates trust in myself as a coach, because I understand the science of what's going on here, but also trust between coach and client, wouldn't you say, Don?
Most definitely, and I was just going to drive home a point for you that is something that we all can actually relate to. You know, you said that, you know, a coachee can actually pick up that something is not authentically there. Now, the way that we actually are able to do that, this is a powerful benefit to the coach, is that we actually have a neural net that sits over the human heart. And I don't know if you were aware of that. And the one of the major findings with this neural net is that its primary function is all about emotion and how we respond. Mm-hmm. And it's independent of the heart. And there's actually two neurons that come off of this magnificent net that's over our heart. One descends into the small intestine, and the other ascends into the cranium, which now has all these subcortices with the brain. And we know that the greatest amount of energy that is produced by the human body, we used to think it was the brain. It's not. It's actually the heart. And so this neural net picks up on emotions from other living beings, whether they're a dog or a tree or butterfly, whatever. It actually picks up on that energy. And that really made a lot of things make a lot of sense from a social interaction perspective. We must be careful how we actually enter into that coaching relationship. You know, we use the term being in the moment, but how many times have we entered into a coaching session just because we have a certain amount of experience and expertise, and, you know, we've got a few initials behind our names, that we enter into that environment and we forget, or we didn't know that we have this neural net that sits over our heart. And the first thing that the client picks up actually is what's going on with us emotionally. So
yeah,
that's a very powerful thing there. Yeah.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And I think that more experienced coaches, even if they haven't been able to put words to that, that there's a sensation of that. So being able to back up some experiences with language. I think even for a veteran coach, this is a benefit. This is a win-win of being able to kind of fill in those gaps.
True.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me ask you kind of another question here. If you were to hone in on a best practice, so taking in, the neuroscience is huge, right? Let's come take a step backwards. Neuroscience is huge. We could talk about neuroscience for a month of Sundays here because it's huge and unfolding, right? That's the thing, is it's huge and unfolding. But if you were to say out of anything, just grab one best practice and say, here's an example of what it looks like to apply a best practice to this and then how it translates into coaching, kind of what would you pick?
You're asking me to avoid sugar, aren't you?
Yes, kind of a little bit. I'm asking you to literally pull a single drop out of the ocean and just focus on the drop. Yeah, I know, believe me.
Well, I think what I would go with, and let me answer your question from a core competency perspective, if I will. And I believe this will fall under communicating effectively. I would actually say one of the major, for me, what I would always be looking at is my ability to ask not powerful questions, but curious questions, but I can only get there if I'm actually practicing deep, active listening. And I think neuroscience actually gives us a foundation which to really do that with, because if I understand what's happening with your brain during that encounter, I can listen better or deeply, and then I can then go ahead and ask powerful, quick, curious questions, or quick, curious, powerful questions that helps me influence or allows you to come to a decision that I can support no matter what it is. So I would say those two things.
You know, and I have to jump in on something because I'm having like a light bulb moment that I think is one of the things that differentiates what the work we do around neuroscience from a lot of other coach training type work is studying neuroscience. Sure, there's techniques, there's strategies, there's all sorts of pieces to it. But first and foremost, it's about understanding a body of work. It's about understanding, it's about a knowledge base, having a knowledge base that you actually add as a coach to your toolbox that supports all your other techniques, right? It isn't like it's a new set of techniques. It's a knowledge base and some other technical pieces that you use underneath, and it just allows everything to blossom. Because what you described there, Don, Lord knows I've listened to, I can't tell you how many student sessions, right? You know, where you're evaluating student sessions. And one of my most commonly recurring pieces of feedback is that I could hear the coach trying to solve the problem or thinking about what the next thing they were going to say is, because they didn't want to sound unprepared or whatever their words are, right? Stupid or right. Uneducated, yeah. Whatever. And so that you can hear that. There's a tonality that we all get where we sort of are up in the like, oh, I'm focusing on me right now kind of zone. And that when we understand what's really happening, we can let all that go. We can just absolutely go, shake that off. And that's the transactional moment where we're just so present. You know, we talk about what is being present with your client out of your own way, right? And so this gives that, the whole concept, the principles, everything, the facts, right? The scientific facts behind neuroscience give permission for that, give leeway for that, give an opening for that level of comfort to settle in for the coach, I think. That's my perspective.
No, well, you actually said it the other day, which was neural coaching actually allows us to be a little bit more freer. Do we have to have a framework and competencies? Yes.
Sure.
We've adopted, obviously, the IFC core competencies, but we've actually added some to the neural coaching competencies. But I think you're more authentic when you're free And you used a word that in two terms I'll be teaching people. One, there's two types of trust. There's transactional trust. I go to the store, I pay for, you know, my McDonald's, I get it, and it's supposed to be good, right? It's supposed to not be burnt, fries are all right, doing what they're supposed to do. But then there's also transformational trust. Transformational trust is what every coach should be striving for, because when you are with another human being and they trust you enough on one level, so they paid you X number of dollars for X number of sessions, right? There's an expectation on their part as to what is going to happen, because obviously they filled out the coaching agreement and you told them what is expected of them and what you will be expected for them from your perspective. That's all transactional. Once I get past that, I as a coach and or I as a coachee, I must move into transformational trust, which is where, number one, as a coach, I give myself permission not to be the superstar, not to be the knowledge expert, not to be the person who is going to overly influence or tell you what to do. And as a coachee, transformational trust looks like, Terry, today I had such a wonderful breakthrough. I got my team to understand what I wanted them to do without all the drama that I used to have to go through.
Yes. You know, I love that. And I think there's two things that come up for me immediately is that transactional trust is often part of what gets us hired, right? There's an essence of who we are as individuals, and we have a pretty reasonable, successful transactional trust. And I think both coach and client are heading into, and of course, this is an unspoken thing. We don't know that it's labeled this if you aren't taught that it's labeled this, but we're both heading into the relationship with anticipation of the transformational trust. We're hoping for the transformational trust. And just the idea, just using these words right here in this structure, this may be the first time that the definition is really falling on some of our listeners' ears. And it's that's the shift. When you know, oh, this is what's happening, then you go, oh, I get it. Like, oh, I get it, right? That's the first thing. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. And the second thing I just want to share really quickly is my mentor from, you know, way back when I first started coaching, he said there was there's a benefit in being able to demystify why we do what we do and don't do what we don't, what we could, right? And and that is one of those fundamental coaching constructs that neuroscience steps up and answers. It goes, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Because I got it, let me tell you. And so once we strip the mystery away for ourselves as coaches, I mean, how much better work can we do, right?
You know, and one of the other things, just a little to wrap that one off is this. You know, there is a huge value from a coachee's perspective when the coach takes the time to actually explain, number one, what's happening within their brain, and how this encounter has been or is going to be demystified. And that is actually one of the words I do use in one of the modules. So thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
So when you demystify, you add several levels of value. One, you add the value of, again, the transactional component to it. Okay, this makes sense. I'm spending X number of dollars. It makes a lot of sense. But now you add value to that coachee, to the coachee, because now the coachee is going to be able to, and here's the beautiful part, they're going to be able to apply what you just taught them about how their brain operates to every encounter from the moment that they leave you that day. That's powerful.
Yeah, it's huge, because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's huge. It's huge, huge, huge. Well, so you've mentioned a couple of times about the upcoming program. I want to pause here for just a moment and actually talk a little bit about that. I make no bones about it. We are working to bring our students and the greater coaching community at large an awesome neuroscience for coaching program, and we're going to start that right now. So coming up really, really shortly, and this is for everybody's benefit, let me just take 60 seconds of everybody's time to kind of hone in on this. If this whole conversation seems exciting to you, if knowing and understanding the neuroscience behind why people are doing what they're doing and not doing what they could or what they want, say they want, this is the answer. This is the body of knowledge that you need to put into your toolbox to set you free to coach with total confidence around. There is no mystery here. I get it 100%. And it's predictable and normal and gloriously normal, right?
That is true.
Yeah, it's gloriously normal. And we have a program coming up starting on February the 8th, and it runs for back-to-back weeks. So we have a couple of integration weeks in there, but it's going to run for a total of, we'll be at 9 weeks. I'm forgetting where I'm at, 9 weeks. And it meets twice a week for an hour and a half, and it is going to knock your socks off. It is a fully accredited ICF-approved program. It is top-notch coaching. It'll be co-facilitated both with Don, who's been sharing his wisdom here, and with, as I mentioned earlier, Scott Masfiorelli, who will be the co-facilitator for that. And I cannot say enough good things about adding this to my coaching colleagues. I mean this from the heart. This is a game changer you will never, ever regret. And so if this has been of interest to you, I strongly recommend that you jump on board and participate with us. There's even an early bird special, which because of our little audio snafu, we are extending. It was going to end on Saturday, but we're going to carry it through midnight Eastern on Monday, just to make sure everybody can take advantage of that. All the details are going to be in the email that this audio is attached to, so I'm not going to beleaguer that and go on and on. But Don, I want to have you talk and speak to some of the modules. Just kind of give us a rundown. What is it that a participant in the program can expect to learn and to be talking about?
Sure. So the curriculum itself, is broken down, starting with the intro to neuroscience. So we're actually going to get into, neuroscience, and more specifically social neuroscience and all the wonderful things that come with that. Then we're going to get into the actual core, or I would say the Iris, help me out, because I said a word and I forgot what the word was. The coaching classics, that's it. So we're actually going to start the process with the coaching classics. So topics such as ethics and standards. Now, I like that one because we have to have ethics in what we do, right? And it is also part of our core IFC core competencies. So I wanted to start with that so people knew up front, boom, okay, these guys are on point. And then we get into, I think, the real classics of coaching. And I don't think there's no matter what niche you happen to be in, I think these this core curriculum covers all of that. So goals, habits, beliefs, trust, flow, mindfulness, optimism, self-control, and willpower. And then we're going to have a masterclass putting that all together and how that actually comes together even after the practice, even after the course. So the course is laid out and each of the topics are laid out in such a way as, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on theory because that's, you know, you can go read a book for that. We want to teach you theory, yes, within a certain time period. So usually the first 20 minutes, I'll go over theory. You will be responsible to, because you get your module, I think, a couple weeks in advance, you are required to do some reading, some research. So we use a flipped classroom model. And then there's always got some subtopics within each module. One of which is, now that I know this, how do I apply it?
Yeah, and, right? That's handy.
That's handy. And believe me, when I first came up with this concept, Iris, and I love her so much for saying this to me, she says, but Don, what's the benefit to the coach? And I had
what's in it for me, baby.
Exactly. And that was her exact words. And I went, if she says,
Iris, you're my woman.
So you know, being able to teach someone the practical application, what's in it for me, what's the benefit right now, and more importantly, how can I use this afternoon with a client?
Yes.
So this will be a very non-traditional learning environment where, again, I'm placing, you know, the knowledge part on the student. I will test that because we'll go through about, the first 15 minutes of the class, we'll actually talk about what you should have read. If there's a YouTube video, I got lots of wonderful YouTube videos. We've got a couple of really funny ones. One of my mentors, Paul Zak, he's got several TED Talks. And Paul, this is a teaser, Paul has sent me an email saying that he is going to do everything he can to actually participate in one of the courses, and that will be the one that I actually talk about oxytocin. So hopefully we'll actually get Dr. Paul Zak, who will actually be on the call that day.
That's
so that's
cool.
Going to be pretty exciting. That's really, really cool. So I'm having a lot of fun with that one.
That's nice.
So that is going to be the nature of the courses. And so I think with, you know, the practicalness of, hey, here's how you actually use that. Here's how you would use it with a client, because everyone's going to be asked to bring a topic that they're currently working on with the client. Change the names, all that sort of fun stuff. So we make it real, we make it personal, we make it, you know, concurrent. There's context. So it's going to be a class setting where a lot of this, you know, again, 15 minutes, this is the theory behind it. Here's the neuroscience which underpins it. Now, what is your client doing, and how can you take this based off of what you just read, what we just talked about, and a lot of discussion will be going on how to do that. And then we, again, put it all together. We're going to have master classes that's going to knock people's socks off. Again, another teaser. One of my other mentors who has written a program that's been around for 40 plus years called Forte. His name is Hoop Morgan III. Really cool name. Hoop actually is going to come on whatever call I ask him to come in on, because all of the students who take the course, they're going to get a subscription to a communication intelligence program where they will get free subscriptions. They will be taught how to use it. I think on the second or third course. And then they will actually be able to give their clients this communication tool. They take a little survey, takes less than 8 minutes, and we're going to show everyone how toxic or non-toxic our type of communication actually is. And I'm really excited about that, because Hoop has just opened up the doors for me since he and I met about 4 years ago. So students are going to get a lot of free stuff out of this, and it's not a sales piece. It's just we want people to know how to use social neuroscience in a very positive, practical way. The tools they're not personality tests. I can go on and on about personality versus, you know, nature.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation, right?
Exactly.
put those drops back in the ocean for a minute. Let me recap this just really for everybody. So really we're talking about, I mean, you're going to look at neuroplasticity, you're going to look at oxytocin and all the other brain chemicals. You've got guest speakers, you've got transactional trust, you've got transformational trust, we've got the threat response system, the protective response system, we've got, I mean, on and on and on. So all of that in a huge action-packed course, and you do not have to be, by the way, listeners, you do not have to be a neuroscientist or a psychologist or a doctor. This is real practical application for every coach coaching at every level to be able to transform yourself as the coach, that transforms your coaching, that transforms the client, that creates your ripple of impact. No pun intended. no accidental segue there, right? No accidental segue. Well, let me just check really quickly. So closing thoughts, anything, Iris, that you want to share, and then I'll go to you, Don. Anything you want to say, Iris, to kind of wrap things up for today?
Well, I just want to say that with all the coaches that I know in my network, when I mention this to them, they are lining up for the program. So I, and that's the one thing I said to Don when I met him and he started to tell me was, Don, I'll be the first one in line for this training, because it really is the next thing for coaches to look at. So if you're thinking that you're stagnant, you don't have the tools to get to that next level with your client, this really works. And this, I would highly recommend to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I really see it. It's interesting. And I mean this, I think anyone who's ever had a class with me, you know, I'm a pretty straight shooter. I really cannot imagine a reason not to invest in yourself as a coach, because you will feel so much better as a coach. Even if you feel awesome now, wait to how much better you're going to feel. And I think that, you know, I mean, coaching is still, even though we're well over 25 years into the arc here, it is still a relatively quote unquote newish profession. It's certainly in certain parts of the world. And when you marry the credibility and just the hard facts from neuroscience with coaching, it really is. It's game changer is an overused word, and I apologize for using it yet again, but it really is a game changer. Don, what about you? Final closing thoughts.
Listen, I think a key takeaway from everything that I've said, you said, Iris has said, is this. You know, a knowledge of the brain science can actually help coaches understand their clients' experiences and behaviors more accurately. You know, it also can provide coaches with additional brain-friendly tools and strategies to help their clients make sustainable, effective, lasting change, which is really great. And then finally, you know, a knowledge of neuroscience can give coaches the confidence that their theories and practices are actually valid.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, huge validation. Huge validation.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Iris. Thank you so much, Don. Thank you so much, listeners, for being with us today and for being able to consume and enjoy this sort of recap and expansion of our mishap audio. But I certainly hope that this gets you excited about what we're doing, and we'd love to see you around campus. Everybody take great care, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Everyone.
Thank you. Bye.